Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into something that sounds kind of dry, the supervisory ratio, you know, that 1.15, 1.20 number. It actually shapes, well, pretty much everything in big 247 places. Think logistics, hospitals. It's about stability, safety, costs, all of it. But here's the kicker. That number you see on the org chart, it's often, well, not the whole truth. So our mission today is to kind of unpack why the right number isn't fixed. It changes, right? Based on shifts, tech, risk. We're diving into what our sources are calling coverage waves math. It sounds technical, but it's really about making sure leadership overlap works across the clock, not just, you know, on paper.
Exactly. And if you mess this up, the impact isn't small. It's immediate, and it compounds. We're not talking minor efficiency dips. See, if your coverage is too thin, workers feel unsupported, training kind of grinds to a halt, mistakes happen. But go too heavy on supervisors. Then you've got bloated labor costs, maybe even confusing communication lines. Both ways, it's incredibly inefficient. Expensive, really.
Yeah, and there's this pretty stark example in the sources to illustrate the scale of this. Imagine a warehouse runs, say, 1.25, three shifts. Looks okay, right? But if the supervisor handover time, the overlap, is just 30 minutes, tiny window, That operation effectively creates a supervision gap. Get this over a month, it's like running one whole shift. Completely leaderless. Scary stuff.
That gap is precisely what we're trying to find and fix. It's where things go wrong. Errors, safety issues, you name it. This whole coverage wave idea, the modeling, it's designed specifically to quantify that hidden loss and help you close it.
Okay, let's back up a bit. Where do people usually start? What are those like standard static benchmarks people aim for in ideal conditions?
Right, the baseline numbers.
Yeah. Like in manufacturing, you often hear maybe 1.15 to 1.25. Depends a lot on automation, I guess.
For sure. And healthcare, obviously much tighter because the stakes are so high. Mm-hmm. You might see 1.8 to 1.12, sometimes even closer depending on patient needs.
Logistics, warehousing, maybe a bit wider, 1.2, 1.3 perhaps.
That's typical. But the second you factor in shift changes, breaks, any kind of transition, Those neat static ratios start to look pretty shaky, dangerously so sometimes.
Okay.
Which is why we need to shift thinking. Stop counting heads, start measuring supervision across time. We need to see where leadership presence is strong, where it dips throughout the entire day. That's what coverage waves analysis does. It changes the question from how many to when and where are they actually effective.
Okay, I get the concept, but is this math just, you know, an accounting thing? Or does it genuinely show me operational risk? Because I care less about the ratio itself and more about where we're exposed.
Oh, it's absolutely about risk. Okay. The key metric here, the one that corrects that static number, is the effective coverage ratio, ECR. This gives us the actual available supervision, crucially factoring in those handover periods. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, transitions are almost always the riskiest times.
Right.
And to get the ECR, you first need something called the coverage overlap factor.
Okay, coverage overlap factor. Break that down for me. What's it actually measuring in simple terms?
It's really just the slice of the shift dedicated to supervisor handover. How much time are they overlapping? You calculate it by taking the average overlap time, say, in hours, and dividing it by the total shift length, also in hours. And this factor is important because a good overlap where info is actually exchanged isn't downtime. It adds value. It's coordination.
Got it. Okay, let's use that logistics example from the sources and makes it really concrete. So 150 workers, six supervisors, 10-hour shifts, and they have a scheduled 30-minute overlap.
Yep.
First, the overlap factor. So 30 minutes is 0.5 hours. Divide that by the 10-hour shift gives us 0.05. So 5% of the shift is overlap.
Correct. Now for the ECR, you take the total workers, 150, okay, divide that by the number of supervisors, which is 6 multiplied by 1 plus that overlap factor. So 6 times 1.05.
Okay, 150 divided by 6 times 1.05. Let me see. That's 150 divided by 6.3 comes out to about 23.8.
Exactly. An effective coverage ratio of 1.23.8.
Whoa, hang on. So their static ratio was 1.25, right? 150 over 6. But because they have that 30-minute overlap, their effective ratio is actually tighter, stronger, 1.23.8. That overlap is adding real, measurable supervisory strength.
Precisely. That half hour isn't wasted. It's actively preventing problems. It's functional coverage. But the math also shows the danger instantly. What if management, trying to shave off payroll costs, cuts that overlap, say, down to just 6 minutes, which is 0.1 hours?
Okay, new calculation.
The ECR calculation becomes 150 divided by 6 times 1.01, which is
150 divided by 6.06. That's almost 24.8, nearly 24.9. So it goes back out to basically 1.25 again.
Right back to 1.24.9, a measurable loss of oversight.
Wow. So just trimming 24 minutes off that overlap effectively removes almost a full supervisor's worth of effective coverage during that crucial transition time. That's significant.
It really is. It shows how tiny timing tweaks can have a big impact. You can't just have the right number of people. They have to be scheduled correctly for that leadership wave to stay strong when it matters.
So ECR gives us the true picture. But like you said, supervision isn't needed equally all day. Sometimes are busier, riskier. Which brings us to this idea of coverage density, right? Intentionally shaping the waves.
Absolutely. Coverage density, or CD, is about measuring supervision intensity during specific periods. Think shift starts, peak production times, end of shift. You calculate it simply. Number of supervisors on duty during that peak time divided by the average number you have per shift.
Okay.
Think of it like tides, right? Supervision should ideally rise and fall. A CD of, say, 1.2 during shift start means you've planned for 20% more supervision right when things are kicking off. That's smart. It's a buffer.
And conversely, if your CD calculation shows it dipping below, maybe 0.9, that means you've got less than 90% of your average supervision available right then. That's a warning sign, a potential trough, a weak spot in the wave.
Exactly. That's the tide going out when you might need it most. And where you need that density totally depends on the context, the industry.
Right, like in healthcare.
Yeah, healthcare is a prime example. Ratios fluctuate wildly. A busy night shift in an ICU, you might need 1.6. The risk, the patient acuity, demands it. But compare that to a daytime administrative clinic. Much lower risk, different tasks. Maybe 1.15 is perfectly fine there. The risk profile shapes the density needed.
And manufacturing. Technology plays a huge role, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Heavy automation. Supervisors might be monitoring systems, dashboards. They can maybe handle a wider span, like 1.30. But switch to complex manual assembly. Or tasks with high safety protocols. You got to bring that ratio back in, maybe 1.4 or 1.15 for closer oversight.
Logistics seems like a place where it could be seasonal too.
Definitely. Think about warehouses, off-peak with smooth automation. Maybe they run lean at 1.35, but then boom, holiday season hits. Volume explodes, temporary staff come in. You absolutely have to narrow those ratios tactically. The coverage wave has to swell to meet that demand surge. It's not just daily. It's seasonal.
It makes you think about technology's overall impact. Does automation just get rid of supervisors eventually? The sources seem to suggest no, it just changes the job.
That's spot on. Technology often allows spans to widen, yes, maybe from 1.15 to 1.35. But it's not because the need for oversight disappears. The supervisor role evolves. They shift from watching individual tasks to analyzing system performance, looking at data, predicting failures maybe. It becomes a more analytical role, arguably harder, even if the ratio looks wider on paper.
Okay, let's tie this directly to the bottom line outcomes. You mentioned safety earlier. How exactly does thin coverage during, say, shift changes impact safety records?
There's a strong direct link, particularly in high-risk fields, energy, construction, heavy logistics. The data is pretty clear. A disproportionate number of safety incidents, like OSHA recordables, happen during handovers. And it makes sense, right? That's when information needs to transfer, coordination is key, attention can lapse. If your wave modeling shows a trough, a low CD right then, you're statistically raising your risk profile. Plain and simple.
And what about cost? This modeling helps find that sweet spot, avoiding overspending. Like, is 1.2 CIRA always better than 1.25?
Not necessarily. That's where modeling helps avoid assumptions. The source gives an example. Maybe tightening from 1.3 to 1.25 boosts productivity by, say, 8%. Okay, sounds good. But what if hiring the extra staff needed for that increases your labor costs by 15%? Then you've actually made a bad trade financially. The math helps you find that point of diminishing returns, where adding more supervision doesn't pay for itself unless it's achieving a critical safety or quality goal that justifies the spend.
Okay, so for someone listening wanting to apply this, how do they start? What are the practical steps?
Well, first, calculate your ECR, get that true baseline. Then step three is crucial. Identify your coverage troughs. Look for any time segment. It could be an hour, could be just 15 minutes where your effective ratio slips past your target. And if your goal is 1.25 and you find a period hitting 1.32 effectively, that's a red zone. You found a problem area.
And then step four, fixing it. You mentioned it's often not about hiring.
Often, no. Which is the beauty of it. The solution frequently lies in just restaggering your existing schedules. Maybe supervisors currently overlap during a relatively quiet mid-shift period. Could you adjust start-in time so that overlap happens during the busy shift change or during a critical machine startup sequence? You're just deploying the resources you already have more intelligently. using timing as a tool.
This must apply up the chain too, right? Not just floor supervisors. What about managers overseeing supervisors?
Absolutely critical. You might have a great structure on paper. One supervisor per 20 workers, then one shift manager for every four supervisors. That looks like a solid 1.80 overall ratio, theoretically.
Yeah, sounds robust.
But if you haven't modeled the coverage waves for those shift managers, you could have a hidden vulnerability. If their overlap is weak, maybe only 15 minutes during their handover, the effective ratio for that higher level oversight could stretch way out, maybe to 1.10, 1.120, right when you need senior leadership awareness the most. It creates a vacuum at a crucial level. You have to apply this thinking at every layer of supervision, otherwise the whole system can falter during transitions.
So wrapping this up, what's the big picture takeaway for you, the listener? This coverage waves math. It really reframes how you should think about leadership staffing. It's all about striking that balance, isn't it? Between cost, making sure you have enough coverage, and ensuring that coverage is actually capable and present when needed, it turns supervision from just an expense line into something you can measure and manage strategically.
Exactly. The goal isn't just having supervisors. It's achieving continuous, effective oversight without breaking the bank. It's about making sure your team is supported, especially during those vulnerable handover points that the old static ratios completely miss, ensuring knowledge gets transferred and risks get managed smoothly.
And looking forward, it's not just about analyzing past performance, is it? There's a predictive element here, too.
For sure. The next level is moving beyond reacting. Forward-thinking organizations can use predictive modeling, integrate your historical incident data, your productivity forecasts, and build models that tell you when those coverage valleys are likely to occur next week or next month before things even start to slip. That allows for proactive adjustments, dynamically tweaking schedules. Which brings up a final question for you listening. Given how dynamic operations are, how often should you actually be reviewing and modeling these supervisory ratios?
Good question. What do the sources recommend?
The baseline recommendation is at minimum every 6 months, but ideally, quarterly. Or definitely right after any major operational change, like opening a new wing, installing significant and new automation, or even facing new regulations. Your leadership coverage needs to be treated like a living system, constantly adapting. It's not set it and forget it.